Montana?
Yeah. So we're holding on, yeah, so we're holding on Kopeya Amud Aleph, 9 lines from the bottom.
Okay.
Okay, so we're talking in the Mishnah about a couple of cases involving a person makes a neder to bring a mincha, what kinds, how many he has to bring. We had a case in the Mishnah, Peirashti. A person says, I know I said I'm going to bring a certain type of mincha, the Enyadeh Ezeman Peirashti, but I'm not sure, or Enyadeh Ma Peirashti, but I'm not sure which one of the 5 possible types of mincha I specified. So the din is Yavi Chamish, and he has to bring all 5 of them just in case. Whichever one was the actual he'll have in mind, that whichever one was the one that he originally said will be to fulfill his neder, and the other 4 will just be as an adult. Okay, so the Gemara says Mantan. Which Tana says that opinion? So Rav Yirmiya says apparently that part of the Mishnah does not go like Rav Shimon. The Eid of Shimon, because Rav Shimon would say like this. We've had a number of times in our Masechta like this. We have this 5 basic types of mincha. Leaving aside mincha pesachim, we'll deal with that later. But among the regular menachos of which a kohen is taken and the rest is burnt on the mizbeach, you have 5 types. You have a mincha solus, which is raw flour and oil and levona. Then you have 2 that are fried, machmas and macheshes, a deep and a shallow and a deep pan. And then you have 2 types that are baked, minchas machetan, chalos and rikitin. So we've learned a number of times in the Masechta that the Chachamim hold, you can't have a mincha that's part chalos and part rikitin. It's all chalos, 10 or 12, as we discussed before, and we're going to discuss again soon, according to sort of Yehuda and Rameir, respectively, or 10 or 10 or 12 rikikin. There's no such thing as some chalas and some rikikin.
And what was the reason?
Because we said that they hold based on the scripting that each one is a different type of mincha. Each one is separate and you can't mix and match. Rav Shimon disagreed with that. We have this back in the 5th parak that Rav Shimon disagreed with that concept. He said you are able to have mechza chalas and mechza rikikin. You are able to have a mincha that's part chalas, part rikikin. So now we're turning to our Mishnah when we're saying you have to bring 5 types. The Eir of Shimon, now if you were going to say our Mishnah is like Reb Shimon, you have to consider as follows. Kiven de Oma mechza chalas or mechza rikikin yavi. Since Reb Shimon says that you're able to bring a mincha, which is part chalas and part rikikin, and the word mechza doesn't necessarily mean a half, mathematically half. It means some and some. Therefore, you have a lot of possibilities. So therefore, now, we have learned before Machlokes, we had Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir, whether in general when a person brings a mincha, is it made into 10 chalas or is it made into 12? We had Rav Yehuda says most of them come as 10, with the exception of the Chavite Kohen Gadol and the Lachan Aponim, which are 12, and Rav Meir said the other way around, generally they're 12, with the exception of a couple of ones, the Toda and the Nazir and whatever, which come as 10. And so therefore they argued about all the other ones. The regular mincha that a person brings, is it 10 chalas or 12? So, inami sabala k'Rav Yehuda. So even if we were to assume that Rav Shimon agrees with Rav Yehuda as far as the number, d'amar kol menachas bois eser, where Rav Yehuda says that all, meaning most menachas, come as only ten chalas. Well, therefore, you still have ten chalas. In other words, that if a person brings a typical mincha as 1 isarin, according to Rav Yehuda, you divide it into 10 chalas. So if we assume Rav Shimon holds that, even so, though, you have a lot of possibilities, because let's consider, if Rav Shimon says that you're able to have a mincha which is part chalas, part rikikin, so you have a lot of possibilities. He might have made the neder to bring 10 chalas, he might have made 9 chalas and 1 rikik, 8 chalas and 2 rikikin, 7 chalas and 3 rikikin, etc., and therefore you wind up. So therefore, ikal ha-sapukah ba'arba esrim in office. So it's going to come out in the end. If it's a matter of sapuk, he has to bring 14 different types of mincha. Namely like this. He's going to have to bring 1 soilus, 1 machvas, 1 marcheshes, and then the 11 possibilities of what there might be as far as chalas and rikikin. So if our Mishnah says that he only has to bring 5 types, presumably that's not a coincidence of Rav Shimon. And of course, if Rav Shimon would say like a mayor that they generally come as 12, then it's even worse, because then you have 13 different possibilities of combinations of what you could have of some chalas of anywhere between 0 and 12 chalas and between 0 and 12 rikikin. So that's the point. Therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that if he has a suffix, which one he was menader, which one he said in his neder, then he has to bring only 5. Apparently, that's not a coincidence of Shimon. A coincidence of Shimon, he should have to bring either 14 or 16, as the case may be.
Just bring 5 then?
No, a coincidence of Shimon, how could it be?
5.
way. Abaya Omar. Abaya says you don't have to say that way. Afilu Tamer of Shimon. You could even say that that part of the Mishnah does agree with Rav Shimon, because Shaminim Leilat of Shimon Darma Maisi Umasi. We find elsewhere in a different context that Rav Shimon is saying you're able to bring a korban and make a tnai on it where you have a stock. So namely like this, what he has to do therefore is, he's going to bring, so we're going to stick with what the Mishnah says, that he brings five, he brings chamishtan. So therefore, in particular for our purpose, among the five types that he's bringing one of ten chalas and one of ten rikikin. Then what he does is he makes a tnai. If my original neder was all chalas, then, or rikikin, then okay, one of the, then whichever, if my neder was originally all chalas, then fine. The all chalas one is going to be for my neder. The all rikikin one is going to be in the dava. If my neder was originally for rikikin, vice versa. And if my original neder was some chalas and some rikikin, then I'm having in mind that some of the chalas from this group and some of the rikikin in this group will combine together, and then whatever is left over, so let's say, for example, the original neder had been, let's say, six chalas and four rikikin. So then he'll have in mind, out of these ten chalas and ten rikikin I'm bringing, six of the chalas and four of the rikikin will go for my neder, and the remaining four chalas and six rikikin will be a separate nedarah. So that's the worst point of Shimon.
He has to say it.
He would have to say it. Yeah. Well, no, he has to say it now. When he made the neder on Sunday. On Monday, he forgot what he had made the neder. He knew he had made a neder, one of the five types. He's not sure which one. So on Tuesday, he brings what? So that's what we're saying. So now our mission is saying he has to bring five types. So because the topic was which of the five types he said. Did he say machvas? Did he say macheshes? Did he say solos, etc.? So fine, he brings one machvas, one macheshes, one solos. Then for our purpose, what's important is he brings one chalas, one rikikin, and according to Shimon, who says that you can have some chalas and some rikikin, he makes a tnai that whatever the original amount in my neder was, whatever the proper original number of chalas and whatever the proper original number of rikikin, according to Rav Shimon, what do you mean after the fact? He's bringing the chalas and he's making that tonight. And we find that Rav Shimon says that the thing works. This time, yeah, as we learn in a Braisa, so we have a case that the Gemara deals with originally in Nazir. You have a case where a person had a suffix whether they were, who's out there that we have to close it? No, don't lock it. No, they shouldn't lock it because if other people come. Maybe, but something, yeah, I don't know, it happens sometimes. Leave the door open and leave the front door and then tell them to leave the front door unlocked. Yeah, thanks. Okay, thanks. So we have a case like this. You have a person who is a suffet, he's a nazir, and it's a suffet whether he became tamei. In addition, he also has a suffet whether he was a mitzora, whether a mitzora muchlat or not. Now, the problem is, now both a nazir and a mitzvah eventually have to shave. The problem is, the Mishnah tells us in nazir, you can't have one shaving that does double duty for nazirus and for tzaraas. You also have the din, though, that as long as he's a mitzvah, his nazirus is suspended. So what ends up happening, therefore, is, this is a very complicated thing, and the Gemara deals with this in some detail in the Sefer of Nazir, and you have a long Tosfos over here, most of this Amud and most of the next Amud, that goes into all the possible permutations. But what it boils down to is, he has to wait the amount of time between one shaving and the next, the length of his Nazirus, so Stam Nazirus Shloshim Yom. It would mean, for example, he'd have to first wait 30 days and take a haircut, which would be Sofik that is for his Nazirus Tumah, that he's shaving in order to restart his Nazirus. Sofik, if it's the first shaving that he needs to do as a Masara. Then 30 days later, another one, because the third needs two shavings. Then 30 days later, a third one, Sofik that he's another Tomei, and that he had been a Masara Vadai, and therefore the first two shavings didn't count for his Nazirus. And a fourth one for his Nazirus Tara. And then each time he's bringing the respective karbonis that he would have to bring, or he has to bring the various karbonis that would have to be in each case if he was another tamei versus if he was a mitzvah.
The two shavings of
the first two shavings don't count for his nazirus because they might have both been the two shavings that he needs for his tzaraas. And that's the rule. When with a matzar, when he's finished with his parat, after they do the whole thing with the two birds and the eighth eras and so forth at the beginning of Parshas Matzar, after that he shaves his body, and 7 days later he has to take another shave. So, but the problem is again that normally he would do them a week apart. Here, being a nazir, it has to be at least 30 days apart, and of course that's assuming his nazirus is 30 days. If his original term of nazirus is longer than that, then it's going to be longer than that. But whatever. The point is that the first shaving, he can't say, okay, well, good, I shaved and now I can restart my nazirus tara. Because what if he was in the tara and that first shaving was for his tara? Same thing the second one.
But the most is going to have to wait for 7 days then.
No, because he might not have been a Masurah, and he might not have been a Masurah Muflah, and then he being a Nazir, he's not allowed to shave. The Kohen himself may have had a Sophic, let's say. Well, you could have. Yeah, you have cases of Sophic and Sarah. You have a case where we're not sure if it grew. We have a case where you can have cases where there are the two white hairs in there, but we're not sure whether they were there before or not. You have a variety of cases involving Sophic with Sarah.
So we have to wait the first time.
So therefore, you have to, for the first shaving, fine, he does whenever, yeah. Then he has to wait another 30 days after that and do the second one. Because it can't be 7 days later, because what if he's still a nazir and he can't shave without having the mitzvah to do it as a nazir? And then each time he has to wait in between 30 days between one and the next. And then each time he's bringing the respective korbanos. So the second time he brings the korbanos of a mitzvah, and the third time he brings korbanos that are sophic, or the second time he brings korbanos that are sophic for a nazir mitzvah, and sophic for a nazir tameh, and the second and the third time for sophic nazir tameh, and so forth. Anyway.
I don't say that could be expensive,
isn't it? This is true, yeah.
So usually you can't, one thing and kind of too messy, like Ner Hanukkah and Ner Shabbos.
That's true, and that's one. That's true. True. Well, that's the shaving itself doesn't count for double, but you're right. As far as the korbanos, you have no choice, because as we're going to talk on Omer Beis, the difference is, if you don't allow him to bring these korbanos and then make these tsnoyim, he's not going to have any way to be finished with his saras or his nazirus ever. He's never going to be able to re-enter the Beit HaMikdash. He needs korbanos. He's never again going to be able to be Mitzvah Lameis. Is it Reb Shimon is the one who brings it? Yeah, I don't know what the Chachamim say, but the halacha is like Reb Shimon anyway. So Reb Shimon, the Lamacharach, so Reb Shimon says the next day, meaning in particular after 60 days have passed, so after his first two shavings have passed, now he's up to the third one. Now he's finished with the second one, that is. Maybe Asham is a Lugra, he brings an Asham, which he would have to do if he's in the Soda, then he needs an Asham. And if he wasn't a Masurah, then he's not yet ready to bring an Asham. So he brings the Asham, he brings a log of oil with it, and he makes a Tanai as follows. In Masurah, if up until now he was a Masurah, though Asham is a Zelugra, then fine, I'm bringing my Asham, which I have to as one of my Kavanas of finishing my Sarah, and this is the log of oil that goes along with it, because that's you'll also have to have that. And if not, then instead, this animal that I'm bringing as an Asham will instead be a Shlomim that I'm bringing as an Adav. Because after all, I mean, the Avodah of an Asham and of a Shlomim is pretty much the same. They're both, you don't have to, a Shlomim doesn't have to be shechted on the north side of the Azara, fine, but there's no harm in shechting it there. So you shecht it there as if it was an Asham. The blood is put on the Mizbeach either way, Shtei Machanas Shrein Arba. The oil would be, if he was a Masurah, then the oil. You have sprinklings of it, and they put it on his ear, thumb, and toe, and the Kohen eat the rest. Okay, so bring it into the Shlomim, and then Sammy's bringing oil as an adult. So the Oshem can be Shalmei Nedav. I mean, Tosfos points out there is, on the face of it, one problem, which is, in the Zvachim, the Gemara says, that an Oshem Masurah is a special way of doing the Kabbalah of the blood. Normally, you're just going to cabal all the blood on a Kali, in a Mizrah. Here, what you have actually is, because some of the blood has to be taken from the Kohen's hand and put on the third of your thumb and toe, here what you have actually is two Kohenim do the Kabbalah. One receives some of the blood in his hand, from which he's going to dip in his finger and do the ear, thumb, and toe. And the other one is Makabal the rest of the blood on a Keli to sprinkle on the Mizbeach. So what do you do over here? The person says, okay, over here you have no choice. Again, Chikune Gavra Shaini, you have to be able to make it that the guy should ever be able to enter the Beit HaMikdash or eat Kanchim again. Therefore, we'll accept that. It's not my act to have the two Kohenim do it, right? You can just Makabal the whole thing in the basin. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Now again, this animal, which he's making a snai that might be an Asham and it might be a Shlomim, it has to be shechted in the north just in case it's an Asham. Umatan Bahonis, they have to put it on the Masurah's ear, thumb, and toe, again, just in case it was an Asham. usmicha. It requires smicha. It requires smicha unasachim or tnufas chaz v'shoik. It requires those three things just in case it's a shlomim. And actually, I mean, Tosfos brings that there's another Gemara in Tzvachim that has a whole sugya about whether the Masorah actually has to, whether he has to do smicha on his osham midaraisa or not. If we say he does, if we say he does, then we don't know. Then we don't need to mention smicha over here because then it needs smicha regardless. If it's an osham, it needs smicha, and if it's a shlomim, it needs smicha. But so then there's no, if it doesn't need smicha midaraisa, yeah. Then Tosfos says what it would be is he would do smicha lightly on it. As opposed to normal smicha, as you lean b'chol koicha, here it wouldn't get. Okay, and the same thing Tosfos points out in the Sachim. I mean, either way, as an osham of a masorda, it needs a Sachim. Most Hashemites don't need a Sachim, but an osham masorda does. If it's a shlomim, it also needs a Sachim. With snufa's cause of a shoik, it also needs to have a cause of a shoik wave, just in case it was a shlomim. And Tosfos actually asks, why isn't it mentioned also, in case it's the osham masorda, it also has to be waved while it's alive. Okay, whatever. The point is you do all the things in case it was the Oshem, in case it was the Shlomim. V'nechal l'zichre kohona l'yeh v'layla. And only the male Kohenim can eat it for on that day and that night, just in case it was an Oshem. Now, normally, we say, again, in Revi and Kodshim were based up soul. We normally say that you can't do that. You can't shorten the time it takes to eat a Kohen. And here you're doing that, because if it was a Shlomim, you're taking off one day that you could have eaten that. But again, Tikkuni Gavra is a special case, to be able to because there's no other way, there's no other way to make it that he's going to, right.
Only the Kohen has this, or
the Well, no. In this case, in case it's an Oshem, only the Kohen eats. If it's a shlomim, then anybody could have eaten. Right? Okay. Anyway, and the point is, so therefore, we see that Rav Shimon holds this concept that you can bring a korban and make a tnai. So returning to our case over here, he brings one set of chalas, one set of rakitin. No, forget it, Masada. That was, we mentioned that case in the Masada to prove the point that Rav Shimon says you're able to bring a korban and make such a tnai. In case I was a Masada, then this is my osham. In case I wasn't, then this is a shlomim.
In our case,
where he has, again, he made a neder, I'm going to bring some type of mikha, and he forgot what it was, where we're saying he has to bring all five types. Why, according to Rav Shimon, would he not have to bring extra ones? Why shouldn't he have to bring one of 10 chalas and another one of 9 chalas and one rakik and another one of 8 chalas and 2 rakikin and so forth, like we thought originally? The reason is that all he has to do is bring one of 10 chalas, one of 10 rakikin, and make a tnai. That whichever, however many I need of the chalas and however many I need of the rakikin should combine to make my neder, and the rest of them will be in a double.
But here, in this case, in the Masorah, we're giving the opportunity to make the tnai because there's no other way.
Fine, but over here also. One second. Now, it is true, we had a studio about this in Zvachim, about this issue of where there was another case over there involving Korbanos that got mixed up. Where Rav Shimon said over there that you can make a tnai, and the Chachamim disagreed with him. That case was different. So we answered over there, Eimu de Omer Rav Shimon Maisi Umasim Hatchila, the Tikkuni Gavra. When would Rav Shimon say that Hatchila you can bring them and make these conditions is only in a case like this of this Sophic Masorah, Sophic Nazir, where you need it in order to fix him up, because otherwise he'll never be able to eat Kodshim again. Avo Ba'alma the Eved Eimu Hatchila Loi, but usually Rav Shimon would agree that you can only be the Eved if you did it. Then it's okay. But now he's not going to say l'hatchila that you can do things that are going to cause that a korban is going to be eaten for a shorter amount of time. So we had a case over there. In other words, the case was in Zvachim that suppose you had an oshram that was mixed up with shlomim. So again, like we were just saying, an oshram and a shlomim, the actual avoda of them is the same. Therefore, if Shimon says, go ahead and do the avoda, whatever it is, you're shortening the time for it, fine, but it's by one day, and you make them only claim to need it. Okay, but it's b'di'evet because they were already mixed up, and we don't want to pass all the korbanos. And the Chachamim disagree with that. The Chachamim say, you're going to have to leave them all to graze till they develop a mum, because Ein Mevi'in Kodshim will be a subsoil period. But, okay, you can't cause that korbanos are more likely to become tossel by shortening the amount of time you can eat them or the number of people who can eat them. So you can't bring this animal as a sophic shlomim, sophic asham. So the Gemara says over there, fine. Usually even Rav Shimon would agree to that concept, but he would say, okay, but the other, when you have the animals already mixed up, you have no choice, you don't want to pass all of them, therefore go ahead and do that. Usually he would say, l'hatchila not. Only when it's, so far Rav Shimon would say like this. When you have the Tikkuni Gavra, when the situation is you have this guy who may never be able to eat Kodshim again, if he can't bring his Korbanos, then we can do it even on Chila. In another case, when you have, in any other case if, where it involves Mavim, Kachim, Beis Hapsul, he would say only B'dieb. So why over here are we saying L'chachila, you can bring one set of Chalas and one set of Rekikin and make Shnayim?
What's the problem mixing up his
in what he's Mechuyib and what's... As far as the Menachas, that we're going to deal with next. That's the next point we're going to deal with. Okay. So the difference is, Hani Mili Gabi Shlomim, but that's when you're talking about, for example, an Oshem versus a Shlomim, where after all, become a Mayat Bachel Oshem. We're there. What are you doing? They might have been Shlomim, and you have an extra day to eat them, and also they might have been a Shlomim, and anybody can eat them, as opposed to like this, only the Kohenim can eat them. So therefore, the Havalu Kodshim will base up Sul. So the problem is that problem. Ein Mavi and Kodshim will base up Sul. You may be causing Kodshim to become possible unnecessarily by shortening the time and by reducing the number of people who can eat them. Avol Menot. Because an Oshem can be eaten only by the Kohenim and a Shlomim by anybody. And an Oshem, because if you bring this animal as a Sopik Oshem, Sopik Shlomim, you have to eat it just as an Oshem, but what if it really was a Shlomim and it should have had an extra day? So therefore, Rav Shimon would say, fine, I don't agree you can do L'Achachila unless it's a matter of a Tekune Gavra, unless it's a matter of fixing up the situation for this person. Normally I would say only the Dievet if the animals were already mixed up. And the Chacham would say not even then. But over here, Abba Menachas, Afil L'Achachila. But over here with Menachas, either way, whether it's Chalos or Rekikin, you still have exactly the same people can eat them. It's still only the Kohen can eat them. They can still only eat them in the Azara. They can still only eat them L'Yom V'Layla, because every Mincha has the same rule. So therefore, there's no problem. Then even the Hatzilah of Shimon would say they need to make a snag because there's no harm in it. You're not making any less time for them to be able to eat. Okay. Now, Almalei Rapapal Abaya. So now we're going to start getting into the Chovah versus Nadava thing. But first, Rapapa asked Abaya. Rav Shimon de Omer mechta chalos the mechta rekikin yabi. Okay, but if you're telling me that Rav Shimon, fine, we're saying that he says you can bring some chalos and some rekikin ordinarily. The problem is, in our case over here, where he's not sure whether his original neder was 10 chalos or whether it was 10 rekikin, what are we doing? How can he do that? Hakamaisi isoren echad mishnei isoren. What is he doing? He's bringing two estuarium of flour, and he's having one that's being baked into chalos and one that's being baked into rekikin, and now he's taking one isoren out of those two. He's taking a little bit of one and a little bit of the other. He only said that he's going to bring one isoren and one lug of oil with it. The lug echad mishnei lugan. And he was supposed to bring one lug, and instead he's bringing two. And you're telling me you're taking part of this isoren and part of this isoren and part of this lug and part of this lug. And how can you do that? If he's bringing to begin with, he wants to bring an isoren of flour and make out of it, let's say, six chalos and four rekikin, fine, according to Rav Shimon, you can do that. But over here, where you have one isoren was designated and another isoren was designated, take some of one isoren and some of the other, how can you do that? The answer is yes. Shemin and Leila Rav Shimon, Da'amar Yim Hevi Isoren Echad Mishnei Esorinus, V'log Echad Mishnei Logan Yasa. Yes, as a matter of fact, we do find Rav Shimon elsewhere saying to the thing, that to the thing is allowed. You're allowed to have a person has to bring a mincha, and he brings two esteronim and two lovim, and he says, I want part of this isoren and part of this isoren to be one mincha, and part of this log and part of this log, and that works. According to Rav Shimon, it works. Yeah. Now, where does Rav Shimon say that? Rashi says, I don't know where Rav Shimon says that. We never actually found explicitly Rav Shimon saying such a thing. So it's just discusses like this. We've learned earlier in the Masechta the whole issue about the midas hayavish of the Bet Mikdash, the measuring cups used for flour in the Bet Mikdash, were they niskadish? Now, if we say they were not niskadish, that they're not a kli shari, then that would be, if we say not, and Rav Shimon is one of the opinions that holds like that, then that would be, then there's the answer. That's why you can take some of one isoren and some of the other, because they were in a kli shari anyway, so therefore there's no problem. Although Tosfos says that doesn't really explain the logan. Everybody agrees that the clay alaku in Scottish, everybody agrees that the liquid measuring cups were in Scottish, so what do you do with that? Tosfos leaves that open. Tosfos leaves that question open. And Arsa Meach wins based on a Tesefta that he says you see Rav Shimon saying it over there, although he has to be Magia in the Tesefta to reach that conclusion. So okay, it's a little bit weak, but okay. Anyway. Okay. Fine. The next question is Mikmas Techi Komat. So now when it comes to doing the knitsa, how do we do it? Again, if he's taking from these 10 chalas and from these 10 rekikin, and saying it might be all the chalas are the neder and all the rekikin are the nedava, or it might be vice versa, or it might be some of the chalas and some of the rekikin, so how does he go about taking knitsa? The answer is, yes. Demasiv Omar, yes. What he does is he makes a further t'nai as follows. If the chalas are a separate mincha of their own, meaning my original neder was only chalas, or only the Kikin. So therefore, you have two separate ones, one of all Chalas and one of all the Kikin. Fine. Amri, Dukaka Mitzvah Chalas, Lehavia Chalas. Then I'll have in mind that that the kumis I'm taking out of one of the chalas is for all the chalas. The kochamis nemer kikin lahavi yirik kikin. He takes one from the chalas and one from the, yeah, of course, there's two different menachos. That's not a problem. We'll get to a different issue with that later, but wait. So like this, I'll take a kumista from the chalas, I'll kumis, that is, take a kumista from the chalas, and that'll be on behalf of all the chalas. I'll have him take from the kikin, that'll be on behalf of all the kikin. And if my original nether was some rikikin and some chalas, amri, then I will have in mind, the kumis that I take out of the chalas, I'll have in mind that that will cover some of the rikikin as well, however many it's supposed to be. And what I take from the rikikin will also be on behalf of the respective number of rikikin and the respective number of chalas. So the question is, how does that work? What do you mean? You're supposed to take if his original nether was some chalas and one rikikin, and with some chalas and some rikikin, shouldn't he have to be taking only? He should have to be putting them all in one keli and taking one kumis from the whole mixture. So how can he do that then? We're like this, he's not doing that because he doesn't know how many it's supposed to be for the...
It's from one and the other.
So that we're saying, in other words, he keeps the chalas separate and he keeps the rikikin separate. He takes the kumis from the chalas and he takes the kumis from the rikikin and has in mind the one from the chalas will cover as many chalas and as many rikikin as appropriate, and the one from the rikikin also will cover as many rikikin and as many chalas as appropriate. But the problem is, how do you do that? Don't they have to all be in one cave and you take one kumis out of the whole thing? That's the question. On the face of it, shouldn't he have to take one kumis out of the chalas and the rikikin together? And like this, here you're telling him to take two kumis in. So again, if all the chalas were separate and all the rikikin were separate, no problem. Of course, each one is a separate mincha, you take a separate kumis from each one. But like this, if it's supposed to be some chalas, if let's say it was supposed to be six chalas and four rikikin, what you're really supposed to do is take those six chalas and four rikikin, put them in one keli, and take a smitha from what's in that keli on behalf of the whole thing. And similarly with the other one. And here you're not doing it. Yeah, they're shaped already. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and then you break them up. You do smitha. You break them into two and four, and we looked earlier in the sector, do you keep on breaking them down into kazayat-sized pieces, or do you keep breaking them down all the way back into crumb-sized pieces, whatever. The point is that you can't have that some of the mincha is going to be in this keli and some of it is going to be in that keli. And here you have all the chalas in one and all the rikikin in the other. How does that work? The answer is yes. Shemin and Leila, no problem. Shemin and Leila of Shemin. We do find Rav Shemin saying earlier in our sector that he says, in komas for all of the yodim echad of shnei and yasim. Yes, Rav Shemin says, let's say, forget about the case where a person wasn't sure of his nether, which is what we're dealing with over here. Let's say a regular case where a person brought six chalas and four rikikin, let's say. So fine, Rav Shimon says, you put them all in the keli, you process them, you break them up into the appropriate size pieces, and then when the kohen takes the kohen, if it so happens that he only gets pieces of the chalas, no problem, it covers the rikikin as well. And if he happens to get in his hand only pieces of the rikikin, no problem, it covers the chalas as well.
It covers
everything that's part of that mincha. So therefore, fine, so it covers everything that's part of that mincha, and no problem.
He
doesn't have to have in his hand pieces of chalas and pieces of rikikin, right? So again, Rav Shimon basically says that you have this one type of mincha called minchas ma'afei taner, and within that there are two subtypes. Not the chachamim. Again, the chachamim all along are saying that the two types are completely different. You have chalas and rikikin, and never the twain shall meet. But according to Rav Shimon, you have... According to Rav Shimon, you have four basic types of mincha. Soilas, Machbas, Macheshes, and Tanur. And within Tanur, you have two subtypes, Chalas and Rikikin, and therefore you can mix and match, and therefore you can be kovet from one on behalf of the other, etc. Okay. Fine. Now we have another problem. The Ha'ika Moisa Shemen. What about, though, let's consider, you have the leftover of the oil. Now, we learned earlier that when you have a mincha that's brought to... So like this. when it comes to the chalas, how is the oil put into the chalas? So we've learned that you have with all menachas, you start off with matan shem and basi. You put oil in the keli, then you put in the flour, then you blend in the flour within the case of chalas, and then you pour the rest of the oil on top of it, and you mix it all together. As opposed to with rikikin, what do? You bake them with the whatever oil is in them so far, then whatever oil you have left of the original lug, you smear on the outside of them, and you had a machlokes over there actually what you do with the rest of it. Is it that you keep on smearing until you use it all up, or is it that you smear it and whatever's left after that is given to the kohen to eat? But now let's consider. So what about in a case, again, according to Shimon, where you can have a mincha that's part chalas, part rikikin? So therefore, we say that you take the lug of oil, you do the same thing, but you take the lug of oil and divide it in half. The half that goes to the chalas is completely mixed in with the chalas. The half that goes towards the rikikin is used to smear on the outside of them, and then the rest of it you put into the chalas. The rest of it you put back into the chalas. So in other words, you start out with a lug of oil, you divide it half for the chalas, half for the rikikin. If it turned out after you wound up, after you finished with the rikikin, you put the matan shem and bakli, and you made the rikikin, and then you smeared the oil on the outside of them, and now it turns out you have oil left, then you add it back to the dough for the chalas and mix it in over there. So you may wind up, in other words, that the chalas will have 3/4 of the oil, let's say, and the rikikin will have 1/4.
You may end up with more oil than...
No, you're going to end up with only one log of oil because you only started with
it.
Oh, no. No, because that's the thing. The total mincha, again, according to Reb Shimon, the mincha in its totality with the whole one isarin is part chalas and part rikikin. So no problem if one part of it has more oil and one has less. By definition, chalas are going to have more oil than rikikin anyway. Anyway, so the point is, so the question is, what about Moisir Hashem? So in a case where you have one mincha of part chalas, part rikikin, no problem. You're doing that. You know that you're using up exactly one log of oil between the chalas and the rikikin. It's not necessarily going to be 50-50, but whatever. You'll end up that all the entire log has been used properly in that one mincha. And now what about over here? We were talking about, again, a coincidence of Shimon. You're going to be bringing one set of chalas, one set of rikikin, and then you're going to be making me snoyim about if it was X amount of chalas and X amount of rikikin. What about the oil? The mechta chalas me'o mechta rikikin omar. If he had said that his neder was some chalas and some rikikin, well then the rule would be moisir hashem machzir l'chalas. Then what would we do with the rest of the oil that was left after he finished with the rikikin? He'd bring it to the chalas and put it in there. E kula rikikin omar. But on the other hand, if his neder was originally all rikikin, then moisir hashem nechal l'kainin. And according to Reb Shimon, the rest of the oil is eaten by the kainin. So what are you going to do with the rest of the oil over here? Are you putting it into the chalas, or are you giving it to the kohen to eat?
Well, would the problem be
in
the
kohen? The problem is that if it's supposed to go in the mincha, it's supposed to go in the mincha. The answer is, the Gemara says, you're right. So therefore, we would have to say that this would only work to Reb Shimon ben Yehuda. This would only work according to Reb Shimon ben Yehuda's opinion. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda was a Talmud of Reb Shimon. So therefore, all this time we've been working since Kofei Amar Aleph at the bottom, since we started over here, trying to figure out whether we can make our Mishnah work like Reb Shimon. Because on the face of it, again, we started with the question that according to Reb Shimon, you should have to bring much more than five types. You should have to bring all the different permutations of chalas and rikikin. But we've been discussing all this time that Abaye is saying you don't have to do that because you can bring chalas, you can bring a group of chalas and a group of rikikin and make a tonight. But based on what we're pointing now about the oil, we're saying that, no, the only way to make this Mishnah work according to Reb Shimon would be, rather, according to Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, who was a Talmud of Reb Shimon. He holds, like his Rebbe, as a matter of Mechta Chalas and Mechta Rikikin, that you can bring some of one and some of the other, but he disagrees with him as far as what's done with the oil. So only according to him would it work. You're right. According to Reb Shimon, our Mishnah would have actually have to say that he brings 14 different menachas, because he brings the other three, and he brings the 11 permutations of chalas and rikikin, because otherwise there's no choice. You don't know what you're going to do with the extra oil. Yeah.
That's why it cannot work.
Right. So, well, in other words, Reb Shimon would say that in our Mishnah, if he had this suffix, he would have to bring one solus, one machlas, one malcheshes, each one made of 10 chalas, and then he'd have to bring then he had to bring another one of 10 chalas, another one of 9 chalas in one rakik, another one of 8 chalas in 2 rakik, and so forth, because we pointed out over here that each of those, you're going to have different things done with the oil. In the first one, which is all chalas, all the oil is going to be mixed in there to begin with. The second one, which is 9 chalas in one rakik, you're going to take half of the oil and use it, if we use whatever of it you need for the rakik, and then put the rest in, back into the chalas. With 8 and 2, you're going to be using more of it for the rakikin and so forth, and therefore you're going to need a bunch of different ones. Only a coincidence of Shimon and Yehuda could our Mishnah be saying that you only have to bring one group of can Abaya be saying that our Mishnah would be saying that you bring one group of chalas and one group of rakikin and make a tznat. Because otherwise, a coincidence of Shimon wouldn't work, because Shimon and Yehuda holds differently what you do with the oil. The Tanya, Rav Shimon and Yehuda, only Mishrim Rav Shimon. Well, okay, so then, yeah, so he says also in the name of Rav Shimon, so he had a different version of what Rav Shimon holds as far as the oil. What it is Moshchan Kamin Ki. Number one, there's two things in which he argues with the usual understanding of Rav Shimon and of the Chachamim. Number one, he says you don't smear the oil on the whole surface of the kitchen, only Kamin Ki. Only the shape of a key, which we've discussed before.
A green key.
Yeah, we've discussed before. Is it like a chaf? Is it like a nun? Is it like a tes? Is it like a gimel? Or is it like an X or some other Greek letter or whatever? Anyway, so according to him, you only do that, not on the whole surface of it, just that one shape. And number two, Moshe Hashem and Nachal HaKayim. Number two, he says, in this case, when you have some chalas and some rakikin, you do not take the rest of the oil that's left after you're done with the rakikin and put it back to the chalas. You give that rest to the kayin, just as if it was all rakikin.
So why would that work?
So therefore, that would work. So according to Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, what we're going to say is, again, where he has a stoppage over here, he's going to bring us 10 chalas made out of one isarin with one log of oil. He's going to bring us 10 rakikin, same thing. And what happens when he's making his rakikin, after he finishes the 10 rakikin, whatever oil of them is left, he's going to bring to the azara to give to the kayin. And when he's making this tanai over here, that I'm going to have, if it was all chalas, or if it was all rakikin, or if it was some chalas, some rakikin, no problem, because there was no case where we were going to take oil that was meant to go for the rakikin and put it into the chalas. Rav Shimon says we would do that. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda does not say that.
Rav Shimon says
that you should have to put the rest of the oil into the chalas, and here you can't do that.
And you cannot mix them because they were... Because
they may have been made, yes, because the chalas may be a carbon of their own, and the rakikin may be a carbon of their own. And then and there may be, yes. Fine. Okay, so we've made it work that our Mishnah can go, doesn't have to, at least our Mishnah can go according to one version of what Rav Shimon says. It would work according to Rav Shimon ben Yehuda's version of what Rav Shimon says, how you prepare a mincha that's part chalas and part rakikin. So therefore, again, according to him, you can take the oil that was supposed to be for the rakikin instead of putting it into the chalas, which here you can't do because the chalas and the rakikin have to be made separately because you don't know. His neder might have been all chalas or all rakikin. Instead, to begin with, you're giving it to the kohenim. Therefore, there's no problem. No matter how many chalas and no matter how many rakikin he had in mind originally, the rest of the oil that was meant to go to the rakikin is going to the kohenim. So now getting back to the basic point, which is, we said in the Mishnah, that according to the Chachamim, and now we're saying according to the Shimon and Yehuda also, the maximum you have to bring is 5 types of mincha. The Amalei of Kahanim or Ravashi, why? Wouldn't there be a 6th possibility? Maybe the person made a neder to bring a minchas nesachim, which is, a minchas nesachim is, there's 3 types to them. You have the one for a sheep, you have the one for a ram, and you have the one for cattle. Three, 1, 2, and 3 are thrown in respectively, and each one has its specific amount of oil, 3, 4, or 6 logim as the case may be, so maybe you should have to bring that as well. And yet our Mishnah doesn't say that, you only have to say 5, you only have to bring the 5. Your Amar Rava, as we learned at the end of the previous parish, because a person can make a neder of a minchas nesachim. So why doesn't the Mishnah say that besides the regular 5 minachas, you also have to bring these, the minchas nesachim? The answer is, because what would be the case that he has a suffix, and we're going to have 5 things in which a regular mincha is different than minchas nesachim. So simon for them, yachid biglal levoina belug mekamsa. There are 5 keywords for 5 differences between regular mincha and you have 5 regular minachas versus minchas nesachim.
And therefore,
according to Rashi, the point is, because of those 5 things, these are 5 ways in which it might jog his memory which one he was menabed. If it jogs his memory, then good. But even if not, any one of so if any one of them jogs his memory, okay, now I remember I was going to bring this particular type, then good, he only has to bring that particular type. He has five different ways of remembering in how a regular mincha is different than mincha for stuffing. From Rashi, actually, it seems, the implication seems to be, the way Rashi explains it, if in the end he doesn't remember, none of these five things jogs his memory, he can't go, what else to bring a mincha for stuffing? On the other hand, the Rambam seems to learn that no, because the Rambam just says he has to bring the five without mentioning this possibility of minchas nesachim at all. So there's a Chabad Chaim explains in Zevach Toida, that is Pirush on Menachos, he explains that the Rambam would understand that these five things we're saying are because we have these five differences, we, meaning based in, can assume that his nether that he made and now forgot what it was only for one of the regular five Menachos and not for minchas nesachim. So even if he himself never can remember what it is, we based it and we'll assume it must have been one of these five, and therefore it's acceptable for him to, we say that we tell him you only have to bring the five, you don't have to bring the minchas nesachim, and that would be a point to that. We're going to say 5 weeks. There's five differences between a regular mincha and minchas nesachim.
Why
he wouldn't pick it. Why we should assume that he didn't pick it, right? Number one, bar biglal yachid, bar biglal tzibul lemiskatzalei, because we can be reasonably sure that he doesn't have a suffix between, when you have a korban that's brought only by a yachid and not by the tzibul, whereas a minchas nesachim is brought by the tzibul as well. A regular minchas tzolot, minchas machmas, whatever, is only brought by the yachid. There's no such thing as such minachos that are brought by the tzibur. Minchas nesachim, whenever they try today, when they bring the talmid, they bring the minchas nesachim with it. When they bring the mosafim, they bring minchas nesachim.
But in addition to the tzibur, a yachid can bring it. So
that's fine, but the fact is, therefore, bar biglal yachid, bar biglal tzibur, like it's calculated. So he wouldn't have a suffix. In other words, again, according to Rashi, the point is this is thing number one that can help jog his memory. I'm sure I didn't make a nether for some kind of mincha that the Sibur could bring. That's it. That could be one thing that we could ask him. In other words, is it possible that you made a nether? According to Rashi, that would be the idea. We would ask him, for example, you know that there's kinds of menachas that can be brought only by the yachid. You know there's a kind, mincha tzachim, that can be brought by the Sibur as well. Is it possible that you made a nether that's only for a yachid? And he would say, yes, I'm sure that it was one for the yachid. I can't remember which of the five, but I know it wasn't one that's also brought by the tzibur. He can make a nether for a minchas nesachim, which is a type of mincha that can be brought by the tzibur. So he could be sure, let's say, that he did not make a nether for a type of mincha that can be brought by the tzibur. That's number one. Number two, but he comes back with, another one, also, he might have a suffix where it's a type of mincha that comes independently. He wouldn't have a suffix that is the kind that only comes as a secondary thing with a carbon. Again, it can be brought alone, but typically it's brought along with carbon. So we could say, let's say again, he could think to himself, did I by any chance make a nether of the type that is brought with a carbon or a type that's brought alone? So he might say to himself, okay, I know for sure I didn't make the type that I know can be brought with a carbon. I know the nether I made was one of the ones that can be brought alone. I'm just not sure which of the five. A third one would be, he would have a suffix only about the various types of menachos that require levoina. He would know for a fact that he didn't have in mind one that doesn't need a levoina. A fourth one, he would only have a suffix of the kind that comes with one lug always according to the blood of Yaakov, or one lug per Yisora according to everybody else, but in any case, like that, he's not going to have a suffix that he may have been menadev, the kind that comes with three lugim of oil, which is minchas nesachim. And the fifth difference, he'll only have a suffix that he may have made a neder for one of the five that require kmitza. He won't have a suffix that he made a neder for the kind that doesn't even need kmitza, which is a minchas nesachim.
Which is all these five are.
So all these five. So okay, according to Rashi, the idea is we're talking about that evident. We're evidently talking about that he can think to himself that any of these, that he can think with each of these things, that might help jog my memory. And then if he ends up remembering the exact one, good. But if not, then at least if he remembers that he had all those five things in mind, something brought by a yachid only, and something brought independently, and something that requires levoina, et cetera, then okay, I know I wasn't benadir or minchas nesachim.
But if he
They had to be very intelligent to know all the differences between Kohen and Mel, wasn't there?
Well, even regular people, I mean, especially if they lived in the area, I mean, who's going to be Menader and Mincha? Who's going to be Menader and Mincha and then have the suffix? It's probably somebody who's familiar enough with Menachos to know that there are the different types and to know the basic concepts of them, whatever, yeah. Okay. And again, according to the Rambam, at least the way the Chofetz Chaim explains in the vote would be that once given that you have these five differences, we, Beis Din, can tell him, we know for sure you didn't have Minchas Nesachim in mind, because that would be such a different type that you wouldn't then mix it up, you would remember that, and you wouldn't be mixing it up with any of the other functions. Okay. Fine. Then we set a case in the Mishnah.
Once that is done.
So that's it. So therefore, he only has to bring the five, and now he only has to bring the five and not Minchas Nesachim.
Because he can eliminate.
Because you can eliminate mincha tzaddikim. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Peirashti mincha shel asurim. We had a case as follows. If he said, I said that I'm going to bring a mincha of a certain number of asurim, but I don't remember how many. So the Tanakama and the Braisa had said, in the Mishnah rather, have said that in that case, he brings a mincha of 60 asurim, because 60 is the largest possible mincha. And Rebbe says that's not good enough. He needs to bring 60 different menachos. One of one Isaran, another one of two Isaranim, another one of three. Yes, yes. Yeah. Okay, so now let's discuss that. Turn it up on him. We load in a brasa. In this case, Perashi mincha, if the person says, I specified I'm going to bring a certain size mincha, the Kavaiti, the Kliachod, and I specifically said that I'm going to bring it in one keli, and it was a mincha of Asuranim, the any idea my Perashi, but I'm not sure how many Asuranim I said. Okay, so the Chachamim say he brings a mincha of 60 asurim, and that covers him, no matter what. If he had in mind one, then yesh mechalam osayim mona. So if he had in mind one, then fine, he's bringing one of 60, and that one is included. If he had in mind two, three, etc., all the way up to 60. And Rebbe says, again, like we said in our Mishnah, that's no good. Yobi menachas shel asurim ve'echad rab shishim. He has to bring 60 different menachas. One of one he started, and one of two, etc., all the way up to 60. Shehein elaf u'shloisha meir, u'shmoina meir to shloishim. Which equals, altogether, he has to bring 1,830 asurim.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So the calculation, Tosafot says, he was an interesting way of calculating it. If you think of it, you're adding together the numbers from 1 to 60. So therefore, let's start with pair up 1 and 60, which equals 61. Pair up 2 and 59, also equals 61. 3 and 58, et cetera. You end up with 30 pairs like that. 30 pairs that each pair equals 31. That each equals 61. That's 61, matter. 30 times 61 equals 1830. So that's the way to calculate it. Tosafot said, by the way, that works with any sequence of numbers. Tosafot mentions, for example, we know that during Sukkot they brought 70 parim as part of the Mustafim, 13 the first day, 12 the second day, etc. How do you know that? How can you quickly figure out that the sequence 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 equals 70? Same idea. Pair up 7 and 13, you got 20. 8 and 12, another 20. 9 and 11, another 20, and then you have the 10 in the middle. So 20, 20, 20, and 10 gives you 70.
I guess that's true.
Okay. So Rebbe says he has to do that. And by the way, we discussed briefly yesterday that Rambam seems to pass him like Rebbe, because the Rambam mentions the concept that he has to bring 1830 at training. So what does that mean? Is that Rambam passing like Rebbe? Usually the halacha would be like a chachamim against Rebbe. The one possibility is, because at the very beginning of the Gemara, right after the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan went to the trouble of saying that our Mishnah could go according to Rebbe, so that implies that the halacha may be like him. The other possibility is there might be a difference between the Lechem Mishnah, I think, or the Mishnah of Melech, one of the Noitzei Kelim on the Rambam, I don't remember, talks about there might be a distinction. There might be a distinction between when he said I intended to bring a mincha, but I don't know what size, versus when he said that I intended to bring it in a certain number of keli, specifically in one keli, where then he has to bring in that keli only the proper amount. Even the Chachamim might agree then that he can't bring all 60 in one keli, that he has to break it up one in one keli and two in another keli and so forth. Okay. Anyway. Continues the Bryce, another case, Perashti the Enya Dema Perashti, the Azuman Perashti. What about another case? The person says, I know I specified a certain number, but I don't know what I don't know the I don't know which one I specified, which one which type. The Azaman Tadashi, meaning which of the five types of Menachas, the Enyadeh Kamet Tadashi, and I don't know how many I said, so it could be anywhere between 1 and 60 again. So again, the Chachamim will say Yavi Chomish Menachas or Shishim Shishim Asuranim, Shane Shloishmeya, Sir Chachamim. So the Chachamim say, okay, 60 that he has to bring before, multiplied by five types of Mincha. So let's put in 300 Asuranim. 60 of Soilus, 60 of Machba, 60 of Mapesh, etc. And again, Rebbe says the same way as before, he said he has to bring 1,830. Same thing, here times 5. Rabbi Chomish Menachas Shol Shishim Asuranim Me'echadad Shishim, he has to bring of a Soilus, a mincha of one, and another one of two, and another one of three, etc. And the same thing with machmas, one of one, and one of two, and one of three, etc. And the same thing with macheshes, and so forth. And therefore, it comes out, saying, tishalof umei of a chamishim. So it comes out to 9,150 esroim, that the guy's going to have to bring. That's his problem. Next time, he'll make sure to remember, to write down what he meant. Yeah.
It's going to be
amazing. Okay. Okay. So, my okay. So, what is the underlying machlokes between the Chachamim and Rebbe, where the Chachamim are saying you can just bring 60 and you're good, and Rebbe is saying that you have to bring 60 separate cases? So Rebbe says, Rav Chista says, the machlokes is, are you allowed to bring cholin into the azara? So here it's relevant again. Rebbe saw also lahachnes cholin ma'azara. The Rebbe holds you're not allowed to bring cholin into the azara. Therefore, now imagine, for example, if his neder was really, let's say, 10 estroinim, let's say, and he's bringing a keli with 60 estroinim in it, it comes out 50 of those are cholin. You can't do that. So therefore, there's no choice. He has to bring because he only made a neder of 10. So.
You
know, he doesn't get this. What? No, he brings his own flour. He brings his own flour from his house. Yeah.
So
they
used to buy it from
the No. Well, for Menachas Nesachim, they would buy them in the business. But for private people's Menachas, they would bring from their house.
Yeah.
That's the point. No, but the point is, when he brings it, it's colon. But that's the point. In other words, if he's bringing 60, then 50 of them are colon. So like this, in other words, what is he doing? He's making a tnai. I'm bringing a keli with 60 yisarim in it, and I'm saying if I was menadev all 60, then all 60 of them are kodesh, and if not, then however many I was menadev are kodesh, and the rest are holding. The Chacham says it's okay to do that. Now, Rashi points out, according to Rav Chista's way of understanding it, the point is, the Chacham would agree that you can't mix choyva and medar, which goes back to what you asked him before. So in other words, the Chachamim won't say that he could say, okay, I'll bring this keli with 60 started. If I actually only owed 10, let's say, then 10 of it will be for my chayv and the other 50 will be for the Dabba. The Chachamim will say that won't work because you can't mix cholin and you can't mix neder and the Dabba in the same case. So therefore, the only alternative would be for some of it to be the neder and the rest of it to be cholin. So fine, the Chachamim will say that's acceptable. Rebbe will say that not. You can't bring cholin into the Azara.
What are the arguments?
That would be the machlokes. Can you bring cholin into the azar? Okay, Rebbe. First, I mean, it's machlal.
So cannot mix nedava
and chayva. No, because everybody would agree you can't mix nedava and chayva. So therefore, that's the question. And Rebbe will say you can't do that, and therefore you have to bring 60 separate ones, and each one you're going to say this is the one, and this is the neder, and all the other 59 on nedava.
Nedava is automatically cholin.
Nedava is not automatically cholin, but the point is he can't have neder and nedava in the same container.
Right.
So therefore, the only way is to have kodshim and cholin in the same container, but that requires bringing cholin into the azar.
Let's say the minimum is going to be ten. Right?
Let's say his neder was originally 10, right? But he's bringing 60. If we were to say that ten of it is going to be neder and the other 50 is going to be nedava, that's no good. Rav Chista takes the view that both Rebbe and the Chachamim will say you cannot mix neder and nedava in the same case.
So one case is going to be 10, which is
no. Whoa! Remember, his neder was I'm going to bring it all in one case. So he can't break it up and bring 10 in one keli and 50 in the other. Because what if his neder was originally all 60 in one keli? Yeah. So therefore, he has to bring all the 60 in one keli. But the problem is then, he can't say some of it should be a neder and some of it should be a nedava, because he can't mix them. So the only alternative would be to say that some of it is going to be for the neder and the rest is going to be cholin. But if you can't bring cholin into the azara, that doesn't work either. The Rebbe, the only solution is to bring 60 separate kelim. The first one is going to be one isara, and the second one two, the third one three, etc. No, because no matter what, he said I'm going to bring X number in one kelim. Fine, if his neder was 10, he's bringing 10 in one kelim, and the other ones are on the dava. If he said if his original neder was 37, then he's bringing 37 in one kelim, and all the other ones are on the dava. No, but each one, you have one kelim that has 10, you have another kelim that has 37, so no matter what, he's covered. Yeah. Okay.
Well, you just 60 kelim.
Well, okay, but
the manufacturer.
What?
Yeah. Is he a manufacturer of kelim?
I don't know. We'll buy kelim.
Oh, fine.
Okay. Okay. So, Rebbe Sava also lahachnis kulam azara. So Rebbe will hold you're not allowed to bring kulam into the azara, which b'chalal you have in other places. Choice just discusses it. There's a rabbanon. Anyway, so you're not allowed to bring kulam into the azara. So therefore, there's no way you can do that. The Rabbanan will hold that you're allowed to bring Cholin into the Azara, especially if we say the Issur is only the Rabbanan, and here they can relax it for him to be able to, yeah.
If it's in Dabit, I'm
not sure. No, but if it's not in the Dabit, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. According to the Chacham, you can't mix Neder and the Dabit. So therefore, you can have some Nadava in the Kedi. Of necessity, the rest of it is Cholin. Now, how are you going to take Mixa from it if it's part Kardashim and part Cholin? That will deal with too. But,
and
be choiva and cholin. Can't be choiva and the dover in the same case. Okay.
Cholin and
the same thing. No. The means that it's going to be brought as a carbon. It's just it's the dover. It's a voluntary thing rather than fulfill as originally netted. And cholin would mean completely cholin. Once he's done with it, he'll take it back out and eat it like regular.
Right, so he's being the dot, but he has to give. He's being 50, and he only has to give 10.
So what we're doing is that later on, eventually what's going to happen is you're going to take a carbon from it and the carbon of meat to rest. Whichever part of it is the actual mincha, they're going to be eating as a mincha. They have a mitzvah to eat the mincha. The rest, they're going to be eating just in case it was part of the original mincha. But it might have also been cholin. In that case, fine, they can still eat cholin. Yeah. So Rebbe will hold, that's not acceptable because you can't bring cholin into the other.
Okay. Even less than the
kazayit? I don't know, less than the kazayit. I don't know, but it's more than the kazayit. No, that's right. Okay, I don't know. So Rebbe Sava also lahachnas full mazor, but Rabbanan Tzavi also lahachnas full mazor. Okay. Rava Omar, Rava says, here's another way. I don't like Rav Chista's answer because why should we say that anybody holds you could bring cholin into the Azara? No, the Kula Amma also lahachnas full mazor. Everybody will say that you're not allowed to bring cholin into the Azara. But hacha, but mutu la'arif, choyva ben adava kamitzagi. The machloikas is exactly the opposite of the way Rav Chista understood it. They all agree you can't bring in cholin. The machloikas is, can you mix choyva and adava? Rabbanim Savri Mutal Art of Kleiv and Azava, the Rabbanim will hold you allowed to, so let him bring one Kaili of 60, and whatever of it is supposed to be Neder will be Neder, and the rest will be Nadava. And Rebbe says, you can't do that. Rebbe Sava, also Art of Kleiv and Azava. Okay. Omale Abaya the Rabba. So Abaya says to Rabba, okay, let's analyze your position. Rabbanim Da'ami Mutal Art of Kleiv and Azava. Okay, so you're telling me that Rabbanim are saying that you're allowed to mix Kleiv and Azava in the same Kaili. The problem is with that, in that case, effectively you have two menachos in the one keli over here. Right. What are you doing as far as kainzim? Haba'in and shnei kainzim. Then in that case, you should need two kainzim. One for the choyva and one for the nadava. And the answer is, yes, your kamis will have a kamis. Okay, so you take two kainzim. Okay, the problem is, v'hoka kamis mechoyva and nadava umin nadava achoyva. Don't you have the problem then that he's taking... From the, he might be taking from the choiva on behalf of the nadava, or vice versa. Don't know how much in here is the choiva and how much is the nadava. The answer is okay. It's totally labor das koyin. Okay, what he does is the owner of the korban makes it depend on the das of the koyin. The Omar, where he says like this, kol hecha the mafia yada the koyin hashta choiva ol vasoik nadava. Wherever the koyin's hand happens to reach. Right now will be part of the part that's choyva, and whenever his hand reaches later to do the second kohen, will be part of the nadava.
Cannot see the kohen when he takes.
How will he see? It's all together. It's all 60 yisodin. It's all one thing of 60. There's no visible difference between the flower that's choyva and the flower that's nadava. It's all 60 yisodin.
Same color.
So therefore, it will also be choyva. And if he knew what was the original amount of the nether, he'd be bringing that amount, and we wouldn't be having this whole discussion. So no, what he says is, for example, okay, so here's the keli. If the kohen ends up taking the kohen from this part, then I'm having in mind this part will be part of the part that's choyva. And later on, when he takes from this part, I'll have in mind that part will be the part that's in the nadava.
They both go to the same place.
Eventually, they both go on in the zeh. Now, so some of the mafarshim explain that this works because of breva. Because we can say retroactively, whichever one the Kohen picks from, it turns out is the one that was a Chayvah or the Nadavah respectively. So they asked on that. The Gemara discusses in a number of places the whole issue of Breira. And we end up saying that in things Daraita, Breira doesn't work. Menachas are Daraita, of course. How does that work? And so the answer that's given on that is, we're not talking to you about a matter of Breira. You have a concept, sometimes you have with Korbanos, that you can say, I'm leaving the Korban unspecified until the Kohen actually does the Avodah with it, and he will pick which part should be Chayva and which part should be Nedava. You have a somewhat similar kind of thing. You have a case in Zvachim, and we'll have cases in Kinim, Bez Hashem, where you have that a person brings a pair of birds at the Korban, where one's supposed to be a Chatas and one's supposed to be an Ola. You don't have to designate them when you first buy them. You could leave them stumos, unspecified, and later on, when you give them to the Kohen, he'll decide on the spot, I'm going to do this one as a Chatas, I'm going to do this one. And that's valid. So the same thing over here. The idea is that we can be saying the Kohen will decide on the spot which part he wants to consider the Chayva and which part he wants to consider the Nedava.
That's Breira too.
Yes.
He has to tell the Bala Korban.
I don't know if he has to tell the Bala Korban. I don't know if it would matter, but maybe he does, huh? Okay. Fine. Now the question is, okay, so you have two Kohens over here. The next question is, Akturi Hesi Master. Okay, how are you supposed to burn those two Kohens on the Mizeah? What order? Lift your Nedava Beresha. If you're going to do the one first that came from the part of the mincha that was in the java, the problem is the choyva heisim masala. How could you then go and be makir the koymus of the one that of the choyva part? Dilma kula choyvi. What if the entire 60 sarin is the choyva and there was no part that was in the java, and therefore the chosul of shirayim? Now what it comes out to is the shirayim are missing something because it was supposed to be after you take out the, let's say the whole thing was Chayva, the entire 60 Yisarin was his original Chayva, because that's how much his original measure was. You take out the Kremit, after that, the rest of it is Shirayim. Now you're taking out another Kremit for the Nadava, now you don't have the full amount of the Shirayim. But you're missing the amount of the second Kremit. But Omar Mar, and we learned earlier in the Masechta, Shirayim Chosru went to Mitzvah Laksara, that if the Shirayim, or that if some of the Shirayim went missing between Mitzvah and Aksara, ain't Master Kremit Alein. You cannot be Master of the Kremit for them. Now, we actually had a chlokas Rav Yechon and a shlokish about that, but the halacha is like Rav Yechon, and that you can't. So how is it going to work over here? Okay, look to chayva v'resha. Are we going to say, okay, well, then in that case, be makriv the kremis of the chayva one, and then do the nedava one? The problem is, the nedava heshi makrila. But still, you have a problem. How can you go and burn the one of nedava? No, not that you won't have enough, but the Dilma Kula chayva. Again, maybe the entire 60 sarin really was chayva. And as soon as you took out the first koimus, again, the rest of it is shirayim, including the second koimus that you took out. And we have a general rule, v'chol shehu mimenu l'ishim, any korban of which part of it is supposed to go in the fire of the mizbeach, harei u'b'al takdiru. Then you have an isser in the Torah, you have a lav in the Torah to be marked with any other part of it on the mizbeach. The same way as, for example, let's say with a chassas, or a shlomim, or an asham, or any animal korban, you have the particular parts that are supposed to go on the mizbeach, the emorim. If then the Kohen were to take some of the meat of the animal and burn it on the mizbeach, he would be over on a lav. The same thing with a mincha. If you take any part of the shirayim, which the Kohen was supposed to be eating, and burn it on the mizbeach, you're also over on the same lav.
And here you
so here, what are we doing? You're taking one kohenet for the chayva, and you're burning it on the mizbeach, fine, so there's no problem with that. But now you took another kohenet, having in mind that in case there was an adava in here, then this kohenet is on behalf of an adava. Really, if the whole thing was chayva, this is part of the shirayim, and then you can't burn it on the mizbeach. Okay, the answer is the Masik Lul Hashem Eitzim. What you do is you take that second Kremis and burn it on the Mizbeach, having in mind that in case it was part of the Shirayim, having in mind that it will be considered firewood on the Mizbeach.
Yeah, but the
Kremis
has to have the
Shirayim. No. So what you do is, even though we just said you're not allowed to burn the Shirayim on the Mizbeach, but Rabbi Eliezer holds that things that are normally not supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach can be burnt on their L'shem Eitzim, if you have in mind that they're like firewood.
Can you make two Tanayim, one on top
of the Mizbeach? Yeah, after, yeah, wasn't it?
But it doesn't matter if it's going on. If, let's say it wasn't, the whole thing was L'chayba, right?
Yeah.
So he's taking another Kremit and he's making it firewood.
Right, he had it.
No,
that's the thing. So he took the first Kremit and burnt it on the Mizbeach. At that point, the Shirayim was still full. Because he didn't take out the second Kremit yet. Now he takes out the second Kremit, and the Kohen has in mind, when he does that, in case there was any Nedava in here, then fine, this Kremit is a regular Kremit for that Nedava. In case not, then I'm burning it on the Mizbeach, pretending that it's firewood. And then he's not over. Then he's not shidai. And then he's not over. Then he's not over on the iser of ruining shidai. As the Tanya, as we learn, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Omer, L'reach nichoyach yachamala, the Pasuk mentioned, the context is, the Pasuk mentions, for example, Sa'urim, it mentions Sa'urim Vach, but it also mentions, again, all the Shudayim of Korbanus, that you can't burn them on the Mizeach, the Pasuk says, L'reach nichoyach, you can't burn them as Nachas Ruach for Hashem, Aval Atamala L'shen Eitzim, but you're allowed to burn them on the Mizeach as if they were firewood.
It's the same
thing that he said. No, but it's, no, you're the same way as you put fire. No, the same way as you're putting firewood on the Mizeach, you're having in mind that's a piece of yincha in case it's not necessary, it should be firewood.
You're allowed to use it for something.
This is also, you're putting it on there as firewood to feed the fire. You're allowed to do that. We had that in. No. Well, like this way, you don't have to put it out. You know,
so therefore you can put 18.
Yeah. So, we had this in Zvachim, we had cases over there involving where you had blood that you're not sure if it should be sprinkled on the Mizeach, and Rabbi Eliezer says you can sprinkle it and consider it as if it was water. You had cases where you have a Evarim that you're not sure if they should be burnt on the Mizeach, and Rabbi Eliezer says you can burn them, L'shem Eitzim. But yeah, same idea.
That
Halacha is like him, yeah. Okay, so again, so far we have two possibilities, how to deal with the situation. One is We have two possibilities why Rebbe and the Chachamim are arguing about whether you bring one mincha of 60 or whether you bring 60 separate menachos of different amounts. Rav Chista's reason was because Rebbe would say you can't bring cholin into the Azara, but everybody would agree you can't mix Nadava and Chayva because of all these problems we just mentioned. Rava says, no, everybody would agree you can't bring cholin into the Azara. You can mix Chayva and Nadava according to the Chachamim, not according to Rebbe, and according to the Chachamim, you would have to go through all this that we discussed. The Kohen would have to have in mind, this part is the Chayva, this part is the Nadava, this one he's going to burn on the Mizeach L'Shem Chayva, this one he's going to burn on the Mizeach L'Shem.
Okay.
That's according to Rava's explanation, right. Okay. Now, why do we have to understand the machlokas that way? Maybe, now that we mentioned Rabbi Eliezer's point about Ma'alul Shemaitim, maybe that's exactly the machlokas. The Duma, the Kula Alma Mutul Ad of Chayyub ben Adaba, maybe Taka, both the Chachamim and Rebbe agree that in principle you could mix Chayyub and Adaba on the same Kaby, and the machlokas is actually just that. The Chachamim did Rabbi Eliezer commit for thee. Maybe they're arguing about Rabbi Eliezer's din. Did Abbanon Isla who did Rabbi Eliezer, or Rabbi Lesley did Rabbi Eliezer. Maybe the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Eliezer, therefore you have a way out of this. You can burn the second Kaby that's the same Asim. And Rebbe would say, no, you either burn in something L'shem Kaimet or nothing, and therefore you have a problem. What are you going to do with the Kaimet of the second Mincha, if there is a second Mincha? Therefore, that's why he says you have to bring them as a bunch of separate Menachos. Maybe that's the Machlokes.
Why would it be the Machlokes?
Because we could say, Rebbe would say, in principle, you can have Chayva and Nadava in the same Kaby, but that only works if you know for a fact that there's Chayva and Nadava in the same Kaby. Here it might be it's all Chayva and no Nadava. Therefore, you're taking the second kaimeth and burning it. You can't burn it for shame eitzim. And if you don't, and if you're burning it, then you're being over on burning shirayim on there. Therefore, you can't do that. Maybe that's the machlokes. Amalei, so Rav Ashi answers him no, because if you're going to say that Rebbe would hold that you're allowed to mix chover with nedava, who's Rav Eliezer Lesley, and it's just that he doesn't agree with Rav Eliezer's concept about being able to burn the second kaimeth, then we have a way out of it. Extra the mighty shift in the chad mana of chad b'chad mana, he can bring one container that has 60 isarin, one that has one isarin, umagalahu, he touches them together, so that way it becomes like one big mincha, and then he takes a kaimet, and that way you have that, in other words, what you do is like this. You have the big one, we'll assume, let's say, it could be all chayva, it could be part chayva, part nedava. The other one, the small one, is definitely nedava. Therefore, he touches them together. Now the tops of them are merged together. Now what we have is, whatever nedava there might be in the big one, joins together with the nedava in the small one. Good. So now you take a kaimet from the small one, which you definitely have to do, because the small one is definitely nedava. You take a kaimet from the big one, which you definitely have to do, because there's definitely a chayva in there. And good, you match with both of them separately, and you have no problems. You know, if you're the same asim or nothing. If that was the whole reason for the machloikas, then Rebbe wouldn't have to say that you have to bring 1 and 2 and 3 and so forth. He would just say you have to bring 60 and 1. Okay, Teres just talks about strictly speaking, based on that we learned the Gemara earlier in Arma Sechta, that if you have two, that if they're in separate kelim, you can't take claimants from one keli on behalf of another keli. So Teres is actually discusses, we had a Gemara over there in Chos, that discussed, you have a case over there with a keli that has a partial wall in it, that's only part way up or only part way down, and when the menachos are considered combined or whatever, so you could do something like that. You bring a keli like that that has a partial mechitza between the two parts, and you do like that, and then.
One part is partially separate
part of the way up, and part not, and then again, you can have them merged at the top of it. Okay. Rava Amar, Rava says, here's a third way of understanding the machlokes. Now, before we said Rava Amar, so before it may have been Rava instead of Rava, but okay, anyway. So far we had one way of understanding the machlokes is that it's about Chol and Bazal. The second one, which was Rava's way, is about Choyva mixed with Nidava. Within that, we thought maybe the machlokes is about Rebbe Eliezer, but we said that no, we slugged that up. And now we're going to bring a third possibility. Let's say that everybody agrees that you can mix chayva with nadava, and also let's say also everybody agrees with Rabbi Eliezer that if you have something which is sophic, whether it's chaymas or shirayim, you can burn it on the mizbeach l'shem b'sim. So what would be the machlokas? The machlokas of Rebbe and the Chachamim would be on the point that Rabbi Lezman Yaakov said against the Chachamim that we had previously. This man, we learned in a Mishnah a couple of prakim ago. Afilu mincha shal samach yisaren noitzim of samach log. The Chachamim over there said that if you bring a mincha of 60 yisaren, then you have to have 60 log of oil in it. It's always one log per yisaren. And Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, no. Afilu mincha shal shishim yisaren, ein la'el aloga. No, even if you bring a mincha of 60 yisaren, you only put one log of oil in it. Shenemel, a mincha v'loy k'shamen, because the Pesach says for a mincha and one log of oil, and we discussed over there how the Chachamim would learn that, how Rebbe Lezman and Yaakov learns differently. Anyway, the point is, so therefore, so that's the machlokes over here. Rabbanon, Savri k'Rabbanon. So the Rabbanon over here holds like the Rabbanon over there. That, the Amri Samach log, they say that however many Yisroenim you have that many logim, so therefore, no problem. Chochad b'chad Yisroenim, logo k'shokil. So what do you have over here? You have a keli with 60 Yisroenim and 60 logim. Out of that keli, it might be the whole 60 Yisroenim and 60 logim as chayva. It might be 59, it might be 58 or whatever. But however many Yisroenim of it are chayva, you have that amount of oil in there that's considered to be blended with them. And the rest of the oil, and the rest of the oil, and the rest of the flour will be in the double.
No,
it does. According to the Chachamim, that's the thing. If you have 50 Yisroenim, then you have 50 logim. If you have 60 Yisroenim, you have 60 logim. So whatever number of Yisroenim in here are his chayva, are his neder, you'll have the exact number of logim in there, and therefore you're good.
All that is made is you could put 60 of
flour and 60 of oil.
Or one big.
As long as you make a big enough container. So we discussed in the last paragraph, we discussed that we said the maximum is 60. And Rav Shimon said the reason is because only up to 60 can it be mixed. Which you have two ways of explaining that. Rashi on the mission over there explained, like Rav Lozman Yaakov, that once you have 61 or more throwing of flour, you're not going to be able to mix in only one log of oil and get any kind of mixture. And the other way of explaining it was that it means, according to the Chachamim, that means that once you reach 61 Esroenim and 61 Logim, it's physically impossible to mix the whole thing thoroughly. Too heavy. Okay, anyway, the point is, so 60 Esroenim would be anywhere between about 200 and 300 pounds, depending which post you ask, and then you have an appropriate number of Logim of oil. A log is, I think, somewhere between 4 and 7 pounds, if I remember correctly, depending. So that would be the Chachamim. Therefore, the Chachamim, again, would be saying you can bring one big mincha of 60, and whatever number of Esroenim that it was supposed to be your chayva, you have that number of logim in there also, and therefore you're covered.
There's no problem with the Kohanim eating all the bread.
Yeah, they'll eat all the rest of it, fine.
But they only have a certain time.
Right? Okay, so you'll get more Kohanim to eat it. That's not a big deal.
Well, yeah.
The Rebbe saw like Rebbe Lezman Yaakov, whereas we can say Rebbe holds like Rebbe Lezman Yaakov, Dama Eimla Eloluga. Rebbe Lezman Yaakov says, regardless of the size of the mincha, you only have one log of oil. Therefore, V'lo Yadin, Yichod HaMinchahi. So therefore now, is there one mincha in this keli, the Be'inen, the Sangla V'chan log, then one log is enough, Yishnei Menachas Minu, or is it two Menachas? The Be'inen Shnei Logim, and there you need two log of oil. So that is why, so that's another possibility, why Rebbe would say you have to bring 60 separate enough is, because each one you're going to have to put in one log of oil.
And that's not enough.
And no, that's the point. In other words, one log only, exactly. If you have all 60 in one container, you don't know whether to put in one. No, it's not that. The point is, you don't know whether to put in one log if it's all chayva, or two log, and one for chayva, one for nedava. So that would be why Rebbe would say it's the only way. The most you're putting in a two, fine, but you might have to put in one, you might have to put in two, and you can't,
You put one more in.
Then it would be possible. Riva Shamni, you're putting in too much oil.
You put 60 separate,
therefore, according to Rebbe, you're going to have to bring one mincha of one isarin that has one log of oil, and another one of two esterenim with one log, and another one of three esterenim with one log, and so forth. That way, no matter what, you've brought the proper mincha that you're supposed to.
What,
and all the other ones will mean a dog.
What one of 60, or 159, and one of...
Because here the problem is, if you just have one of 60 and one of one, 59, because what if you said made an editor of 60? We had a case over there where you could bring one big one and one small one, right, but here the problem is, what if his netter was 40? What if his netter was 10, or 30, or 40, or 57, or whatever? So you're going to have, in that one container of 60, some of it is going to be for his nether, and some of it is going to be for nedava, within that one container. And each one needs its own log. You're going to have to put two logim in that container. But if it was all meant to be 60, then you only have to put one up, when you only put in one log. So that's the problem. So that's another way of explaining the machlokes. Okay. Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi says, here's another way of explaining the machlokes. The cotton behavi gadol kamitzvi. The machlokes might be about the concept, suppose a person made a nether to bring a small korban, and instead he brought a large one. Rabbanan Sabri Kotan Vehedi Gadol Yatsa. The Chachamim hold that if you made a neder to bring a small one, and instead you brought a bigger one, you are Yatsa. So therefore, in this case, he made a neder to bring a mincha. We don't know whether one, or two, or three, or 40, or 60, or whatever. If he brings 60, no matter what, he's covered, because within 60, you have one, and two, and three, and so forth. The Rebbe would hold, no, you made a neder to bring 40, you've got to bring exactly 40, no more, no less. Therefore, you can't bring 60 and say, but there's 40 in there. You wouldn't be yotzei, you're nether. Therefore, you have to bring one of 40, and you have to bring one of every other number that it could have been. Okay, so the question is, we understand the machlokes that way, we already have that machlokes later on in our parish. It's an uncoffin behavior, god or yotzei. If a person makes a nether to bring a small animal of a korban, like a sheep, and he brings a bigger animal, yotzei, so Rebbe says he's not yotzei, and Chacham says he is.
Because we learned you can make it too much for a nicer cover, a bigger size of cover, if you find it something bigger.
So the Chachamim hold that if you made a nether, let's say, to bring a small animal, like a sheep, and you ended up, if you specified a sheep, of course, you can't bring a bull, but if you just said, I'm going to bring a small animal, and instead you brought a large animal, So why would you need the machlokes, if we say like that, why would you need the machlokes in our mission as well?
That could be the machlokes,
but why would need to repeat it in both cases? The answer is tzricha. We would need it to be repeated in both cases. Because if we only had that machlokes in our Mishnah, then you would say b'ha kami rabbanon. You know why the rabbanon say you can be yotze with one big mincha of 60 mishum da'idi v'idi kaivatsu? Because regardless, you're only taking out one kaivatsu. No matter what the size of the mincha, whether it's one or whether it's 60, you always have exactly one kaivatsu being taken out and burnt on the mizeah. So therefore, no problem if you bring a bigger mincha. It's not like any more is being burnt on the mizeah than it's supposed to. But when it comes to the different size animals, you kind of fishy emurin, a larger animal has larger emurin. Therefore, in other words, more is being brought on the back. Ema modulay le Rebbe. Maybe the Chachamim would agree with Rebbe that you can't do that. You made a neder to bring a certain kind of animal from which there's going to be exactly this amount of emurim on the back. So you can't bring something larger where there's going to be a larger amount going on the back.
The fishing means more. What's wrong with bringing something more fashion, something bigger to cook?
Because you could say he didn't. That's not the nether he made. He made a nether to bring a certain amount, and now he's bringing a different amount, a larger amount. Maybe we would say they agree with Rebbe, and it can't be yoked. It was a larger verb. They would say with a mincha they would disagree, because a mincha, regardless of the kaimus, is always the same size. It doesn't depend on the size of the mincha. But with animals, the emorim is different in size. The itmar b'chayi, and if we only had it in that mishnah, we would say the other way around. By he called the Rebbe, only there does Rebbe say he's not yotze, because of the different size of the emorim. Avol b'chav, and our mishnah, even moja l'hu l'rabbanon, maybe he would agree with the rabbanon, because after all, the kaimus is the same size. Therefore, tzricha, therefore we need the machlokes in both places. Okay, so the siman actually belongs to the next Mishnah. That's a very unusual thing. That this may be the only place in Shas where the Gemara actually brings a siman for something that's in a Mishnah, where the Mishnah is going to be giving us a number of different cases of a person makes a neder. But actually, I mean, it's a little hard to understand the siman because the siman doesn't even include all the things in the next couple of Mishnahs. It only includes some of them. So it's a little hard to understand what the siman is while doing here, but okay. Okay, so anyway, to recap what we had so far before we get to the Mishnah, so we had a number of different ways of explaining the machlokes of Rebbe and the Chachamim. Why Rebbe is saying that when 1830 or 9150 or whatever for five types versus the Chachamim say you can get away with 60 or 300. One is it depends on whether you can bring Chol and Mazara. Two, it depends whether you can mix Nedava with Chayva. Three is because Rebbe would hold that no matter what size mincha, it only has one log of oil, so you'd have a suffix whether you're putting in one log or two log over here into the big container. And then we have Rav Ashi, that the machlokes is that if you made a neder to bring a smaller korban, can you be yotze with a larger korban? Chum hold yes, Rebbe holds no. Okay. Again, who is the halacha like? On the surface, the Rambam seems to pass him like Rebbe. And on the surface, the Rambam seems to pass the Maghrebi because he mentions this concept of 1830. On the other hand, there's the possibility that maybe even if he said that he's going to bring a specific number in a container, maybe even then the Chachamim would agree.
The Rambam came later, right?
The Rambam is a tradition, of course.
So why would you not the Rambam asking
the Maghrebi? Because, I mean, the Gemara doesn't explicitly pass him who the Gemara tells us you have Rebbe and you have a Chachamim. So the Gemara doesn't spell out for us who the Halacha is like. So the Rambam is pretty much the only Rishon who deals with these issues and passes things about them. So therefore we usually talk about the Torah only deals with halachas that are applicable nowadays. So the Torah only deals with halachas that are applicable nowadays. So Kodshim is not applicable nowadays because they're not a Beis Mikdash. But he didn't write a whole sefer on that. Later on, he had one of the Achronim. The Orach HaShulchan wrote, besides he wrote Orach HaShulchan, on the four halachas of Shulchan Aruch, he also wrote Orach HaShulchan HaOsim, which deals with the halachas that are negeya when Mashiach comes, including Kodshim or whatever, but who does he in turn base himself on mostly the Rambam, and whatever other Rishonim deal with these things. So the Lacham Mishnah says the verse is, the Chachamim would agree maybe in a case where not only he forgot how many Yetzirayim he said, but also how many Kalim he said to bring him in. Did he say that I'm going to bring X amount in one Kali, or did I maybe have in mind that I'm going to bring X amount in a number of different Kalim? So then he has to bring all the different Kalim to be on the safe side. Even the Chachamim would agree with that.
So the person say, well, I probably had in mind to bring everything I said, so I'm not going to take a whole bunch. That's easy way to remember also.
Could be. So the Mishnah says, okay, so Simon Aitin Zahav Yain Ola Toga Shor. Again, these are some of the cases that we're going to have in the next couple of Mishnayas, where a person makes a nether, how much of it he has to bring. But again, it's not all the cases, so it's a little hard to see why they picked after these things. All right, Mishnah says, Harealai Aitin, if a person says, I make a nether that I'm obligated to bring wood to the Beis Hamikdash, how much is Aitin? Means, well, you're Christmas Mishnah Xirin, the least he can bring is two logs of wood, of the kind that go on the Mizbeach. That's considered the minimum amount that has any chashiv. Because you bring two gzira eitzim on the mizbeach every day. The general rule we're going to have in these next couple of mishnayos is that a person makes a neder, he has to bring the minimum thing that has a certain chashiv. So therefore, when it comes to wood, the minimum amount that has chashiv is the two gzira. The two gzirim we've learned before, they're an amma by an amma and a certain thickness. So the thickness of a certain kind of stick, so machash, or gavish, or whatever. Yeah. Okay. Anyway,
they were square.
Yeah, they're square. Okay. Tosfos points out if he had made a neder to say eight, then fine, he could bring one piece of wood. Okay. Lavoina. What if the person says I'm making a neder to bring lavoina? What's the minimum amount? Well, if it's mikaymet, then it should be not less than a kaymet in size. So that's the minimum that would be good. And the Mishnah. Yes. The Mishnah digresses a second to talk about some dinim involving the kaymet. Chamisha kaymet. You have five cases in halacha that involve a kaymet. Number one, what we just said, a person makes a neder to bring lavoina, then he has to bring at least a chaymet. Number two, hamanadav mitcha, a person makes a neder or an adava to bring a mitcha, yavi ima chaymet lavoina, he has to bring a chaymet lavoina with it. Number three, hamala a chaymet lachot chayev, if a person were to offer a chaymet of lavoina outside of the mitzvah, then he'd be chayev for it. And Rashi points out that also includes the fact, therefore, that if he offers a koimus inside the Beit Mikdash, then he's chayev. Because why is he chayev for a koimus outside the Beit Mikdash? Because a koimus is what's offered inside the Beit Mikdash.
No,
that's
offered outside.
No, it would be anything that you're allowed to offer inside an alatayim. Fine. Number four, hamal. Number four, and number four, and number five, shnei bazichim, tonin shnei kmasim. The two bazichim that go on the shulchan with the lachan aponim, each one requires a kindness of the vina. So that's number four and number five.
The spoons
that they put the vina. So some of these kindness refer to the mincha itself, some of them refer to the vina, but we have five cases that involve a kindness. Getting back to cases of nedarim, if the person says, I'm making a neder to give gold to the Beis Mikdash, what's the minimum amount? Well, yifchas medina zahav, he shouldn't give less than a gold dinar. That's the minimum amount to be considered that it has chesed. Okay, we'll see in the Gemara, which we'll get to tomorrow, but Hashem, why it can't be less than that. Kesef, if he said, I'm going to give silver, also the yifchas medina kesef, he shouldn't bring less than a silver dinar. Silver dinner is worth, in those days, it was 1/25th of a gold dinner. 1/25th of a gold, it was worth 1/25th of a gold dinner. Actually, no, it was worth 1/25th. Tosfos points out in a couple of other places that actually what it is the ratio between gold and silver in those days was actually 1/12. But a gold dinner was twice as thick as a silver dinner. So therefore, it ended up being 24 or 25.
Which one was thicker?
The gold dinner was thicker. The gold was thicker, so therefore, if you had an equal weight of gold and of silver, the gold would be worth 12 times as much as the silver. Nowadays, it's nothing like that because you have a different kind of economy. But in those days, for a long time after that, the ratio was 12 to 1. So if they made them the same size and the same thickness, they'd also be a ratio of 1/12. But because the gold dinner was twice as thick, so it had twice as much weight of gold, therefore it was worth 24 times as much as the silver dinner, so 25 days. Nechoshet, 25, some places have 24, some 25. It may have been one of those things that fluctuated a little bit. Nechoshet, if a person says, I'm making a neder to give copper to the Beit Mikdash, then he should give not less than the amount that's equal to one silver ma. But we'll discuss in the Gemara why that should be. Why doesn't he bring a small amount of copper? So we'll get there. What about again? The person says, I know I said an amount, but I don't remember how much. In any of these cases, the gold or with wood or gold or silver. Maybe he has to bring an amount until we get to an amount where he says, I surely didn't have this amount in mind when I first made the neder. Now, we don't say that with the menachos, by the way, because he could conceivably have had in mind 60. The only reason, according to Rebbe, why we're making him bring 1830 is because he has a suffix. Did he mean one? Did he mean two? Did he mean three, etc.? Any of those is a conceivable number. But let's say over here with gold. There's no maximum amount. So if he, let's say, said, I made a neder to bring gold, but he doesn't remember how much. So he'll have to bring, let's say, $1,000 worth of gold. Let's put it this way. We'll have to ask him, what's the maximum amount when you made your neder that you could possibly have had in mind? If he says, let's say the maximum I could ever have had in mind is 1,000, I'm not rich enough to give more than that, then that's the amount he gives, 1,000, 100, whatever. Okay. So more starts on. The Pasuk says korban, the Pasuk says that a person can bring korban Hashem. Melamed shemis nadrim eitzim, from that extra word korban, because it's korban mincha, if we learn from that a person can also bring, as in a drug of wood, to the mishmash. But kama, and what's the amount? As we said in our Mishnah, shnei gzirin, two pieces of wood, eitzim, it is, because we learn from that. In fact, we have a pasuk in Nehemiah that says, we made gerolot about the korban ha'etim, that the nine families every year would bring at different times during the year wood for the mishmash. So therefore, we see that the pasuk calls wood a korban. Rebbe says, eitzim korban ha'im. As a matter of fact, eitzim are a korban to the extent even that Tu'unin melach, you have to put salt on them before you mak with them, just like any other carbon, or tu'unin agbasha, and like a mincha, you would have to touch them to the corner of the mizbeach. Amar Rava, and Rava says not only that, according to Rebbe, the eitzim, you would also have to take a credit from them. You would have to make one, some part of the wood into sawdust so that you can take a credit of it and burn it on the zeach like every other credit, and the rest would be, Rabbi Negershin says the rest of the wood would be given to the kohen, like the rest of the mincha is eaten by the kohen. Other Rishonim explain the rest of it is burned on the mizbeach.
Right,
well, it would be, yeah, of course, yeah.
So what is it? Is it given to the Kohanim?
So that's according to Rabbeinu Gershom. Is it given to the Kohanim? According to everybody else. Omar Papa, Zivri Rebbe, Asim, Tonim Asim. And furthermore, according to the Papa says, according to Rebbe, this wood itself, you couldn't just put it right into the fire. You have to put it on wood that's on the fire, that's in the fire already, on firewood, because it itself is a carbon, just like every other carbon has to be burnt on firewood that's on the bear. Here, this wood becomes a carbon, and therefore you have to put it on firewood that's on the bear. Asim, Tonim Asim.
No,
the point is, it has to be a pile of wood on the mizbeach on which there's already a fire burning, and you'll put it only there. You can't like just put it on the mizbeach and light it itself on fire. The same way, so for example, you can't take a kremis and do that. You can't take a kremis and put it on the mizbeach and light a little fire right there to burn the kremis. You have to put it into the fire that has the place where the fire is, that has the firewood. Here would be the same thing according to that. Yeah, we've talked about before the Sticha and Chedus Yudayin, where the Rebbe analyzes this machlokas of Rebbe and the Chachamim that you have in general in a number of places in Shas, where Rebbe holds that once an object is called by a certain name, then it has all the dinim of that thing. So here Rebbe is going to say that the word that's called a korban has all the dinim of a korban, whereas the Chachamim are going to disagree with that. And you have, within the Chachamim's opinion also, you have a couple of different explanations of the Rishonim. What would the Chachamim say you do with it? Do we say that the primary thing is you're not just bringing the wood, but you bring the carbon along with it? That's the real reason why it's called a carbon. Or is it that the wood itself can, to a certain extent, be considered a carbon? And Taka, what do we do with it? According to Rebbe, we're saying you take a kindness of it. According to the Chacham, do we say you burn it all on the back, or do you give it to the Kohanim, or whatever? Yeah, we have a couple of different explanations among the between Rashi and the Rambam and the Ravid about what you're doing.
I think that someone asked, what's the matter of wood? Not to burn it for out of carbon, just
he wants to be not of wood for them to use to burn the other carbonus. So then he would make the neder differently. Then he would say that he's giving wood to the better. He'd say that he's giving wood to Hekdesh in general. He wouldn't say that he's bringing wood as a carbon. Except when he says Harei Alai Esim, he means as a carbon.
So just burn the wood.
So again, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, most of the wood is given to the Kohanim. And according to everybody else, the wood is burnt on the mizbeach. Maybe they could use it for themselves. Maybe they have to adapt to use it in the Azara, let's say, to cook the carbonus that they're going to eat. I don't know. We'll stop over here and we'll continue tomorrow. That's the show.